Greetings in Jesus' name. I welcome each one of you here this morning. Trust that we're here desiring to serve the Lord, wanting to be taught by the preaching of His Word. This morning I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and look at this chapter. The title that I want to give this message is Arm Yourself with the Mind of Christ. And I believe that Peter was trying to prepare and disciple a people and help them to be prepared for some of the things that they might face in life and how to be successful in that. And made me think about, when I think about armed, we think of someone that is taking time to be prepared for some of the things that they might face. And so I just want to think about that just a little bit. If we're thinking about going on a hike, we will take time to arm ourselves for the things that we might see or face. So if we're going on a, and maybe for some of you children or young people, if you're going on a two-hour hike into the woods and you've never been in these woods before, what are some of the things that you would take with you? Does anybody want to give some ideas? Do I have to bring up all the answers, or are you going to help me?
Water.
If it's a thick woods and you haven't been in these woods and you're planning on just being gone for a couple hours, but there's the possibility that you might get lost in it, what's something that you would take along? What did you say? Matches. Okay, that's a good one. Was there something else? Compass. Yes, thank you. So a compass, you take a compass along so you can find your way back out. What would you use matches for? Light a fire. So if we're, obviously if we're lighting a fire, things aren't going as planned and we're finding ourselves in our hike much longer than we planned for. And so now we're thinking about survival and ways to stay warm or ways to maybe make some food. And so that's, those are some of the things that we do when we go on a trip or we go on a hike. We make preparation. We don't know, we think we know what we're going to face, but we go into these things with the understanding that we're probably going to possibly face some things that we didn't plan for. And I think as we look at Peter here, that's what Peter was doing, is he was preparing, trying to prepare his people to think about the things that you're going to face, but also think about some of the things that you may face that you're not really thinking about and how to handle those things. So with those thoughts, maybe we can just pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pause here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can look into your word. And I just pray, Lord, that as we read your word this morning, that we would be reminded of the things that you have done for us. We thank you, and I just pray, Lord, that as we read your word also, that we would be reminded and prepared for the things that we may face in life, and that you would help us to be prepared for those things. We thank you. I just pray, Lord, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First Peter chapter 4. I'd like to start by reading the first 6 verses here. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of the men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, and banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Just going to pause there for now. One of the things that we see as we read Peter, and he reminded us in chapter 1, is that that this world is not our home. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout, and he mentions the different places, but as God's people, he's reminding us that we are strangers, and we're going to do things and think differently than those that are of the world, those that are don't understand Christ. And so that's going to bring us out, and it's going to bring out those that don't know Christ, because we are of a different mind. We have different motives for living. In verse 1 in Peter here, chapter 4, we're reminded here that Christ suffered in the flesh for us. Jesus, and as we look into that, we see Jesus was persecuted in many ways for the things he did and the life that he lived. And he's reminding us of that. Peter is reminding us of that. And he's saying to be also prepared, armed. We think of the title, arm yourself with the mind of Christ. So if we are armed, we are prepared that this can happen to me. We go into life, we go into our day, we want to avoid, as human beings, we want to avoid being persecuted. We want to avoid suffering in the flesh. But if we go in prepared, realizing that I'm living for Jesus, and I'm armed and ready for when those things happen, and how I'm going to respond to those things, I would say that we are armed. We are thinking about those things, and so we're not caught off guard. If I'm on a hike and walking and I find myself lost and I failed to take a compass with me, I failed to take some water with me, I failed to take some matches with me so I can get myself out of this predicament, we're sort of in trouble. And I think a lot is the same as believers when we enter life and we these things come upon us. We start finding ourselves suffering. We realize that somebody is coming against me because I'm a believer in Jesus. And we're caught off guard. And it affects us badly because we weren't prepared. We were thinking that I was going to be able to go through today and this, I wasn't going to have to experience this. And so Peter is trying to prepare us here to be armed and ready for when these things happen, and so that we would walk in the Spirit when these things come upon us. We're reminded here that Jesus suffered so that we could die to sin and live to righteousness. As we think about the gospel is, first of all, changing me, changing us. And as that takes place in our lives, we want the gospel to change others around us as well. Verse 2, we are reminded here that the gospel, as the gospel takes effect in our lives, that it shifts our focus to God. It takes our eyes off of ourselves and puts it on Jesus. One of the things that happens as these things take effect in our lives, we no longer chase after empty desires that do nothing for us, but instead we start seeking what God would have, what God's will is for our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I believe that's what Peter is trying to remind us and tell us, that these things should be taking place in our lives as Christ grabs a hold of our hearts and lives, that those old things matter less and less, but the things of the Lord matter more. Verse 3, and Peter here reminds us, gives us a picture of who we were without Jesus. The things that we pursued, the things that we found happiness in or thought we were, and that we these things are things of the past, and that we no longer pursue those things. And then in verse 4, he reminds us here, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. He's preparing them here for, don't be surprised. Um, when you do things differently and they don't join you. And in fact, they start speaking evil of you. So don't be surprised by that. They notice the changes that Jesus has made in your life. They notice. And instead of joining you, they speak evil of you. In verse 5 and 6 of Peter here, a reminder that everyone is going to give an account for their life. Both those that are living for self and those that are living for Christ. And thankfully, we as believers, as we come before Christ, the blood is going to cover our sins, and we're going to be free. And just a reminder, the gospel is our hope. As we preach this hope, we preach to ourselves. How often I find that to be true in my life, as I share my hope to others, it brings hope to my own heart. And it is refreshing when I do that. What is the reason that we preach the gospel to others? We want them to have that hope that we're experiencing. We serve a God who is greater than our situation, stronger than our sufferings. The abundant hope of the gospel floods our soul with expectation. And as we experience that, that should be the reason why we share the gospel with others, because of that hope in our lives, and we want them to experience that as well. Going down to verse 7, and I'll read verse 7 through 11. 1 Peter 4, verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So, just a few things that we see here in these verses that we're reminded of. Be ready for Jesus' return. Watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. We were reminded earlier this morning that when we do that, that it changes who we are. It changes things around us. And so watch unto prayer. We are called to love each other, which when we do that, we, as we love one another, we also forgive one another. And as that happens, it covers a multitude of sins. We're reminded of that in this passage. Talks about hospitality. When we think of hospitality, we think of welcoming, caring, providing, making someone feel at home. Those are some of the things that Peter is encouraging here. Use our gifts to serve one another. Use our gifts to serve one another. Our abilities are not an accident. We see that here in this passage. You have been gifted by God. Do I recognize my abilities as something that God has given me? When we use something that I recognize as being given to me by someone else, we often handle it differently. We take care of, we recognize where it came from. Reminds me when the wedding we had recently, and we borrowed different people's things to get different things accomplished. And some of the things, we had a hard time finding all the pieces that we had borrowed and we were concerned about that. And more so than the things that were our own. And I think as we look at the things here, and we think about the abilities that we have, and as we recognize them not as our own abilities, but something that God has entrusted to us, it changes how we use them. And we makes us want to honor God by using them. And that's the encouragement that I receive from this and want to pass on to you. When we speak, we are to minister through the ability that God gives. The results of this is people will praise God instead of man. When we acknowledge and we use the abilities, the gifts that God has given us, and we point them, use them as a God-given thing, man will, I believe, recognize that it is the Lord, and God will receive the glory. And that's what we want to accomplish and will accomplish when we, I think, recognize these things. the things that God has gifted you, he has done so that we can serve Jesus, and he wants us to use them for such. Going down to verse 12 through the end of the chapter, behold, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So in verse 12, he's reminding us here that we should expect trials, and they will come without warning. What happens when we're armed and ready for the unexpected? We do just fine. The two people that went hiking, the one that went prepared, faced some difficulties, and it wasn't a problem. The one that went unprepared, thinking that it was going to be just a simple little hike, and he faced some obstacles. And the two-hour hike ended up being much longer, and it was very hard, almost took him down. And so we do well when we are armed and ready, prepared. Another point here is rejoice that we can partake of Christ's suffering. As we recognize, recognize ourselves as followers of Jesus, as Christians, as when these things come, we can rejoice that, oh, these people are pointing me out as Christ's followers. To suffer for righteousness for the name of Jesus, we are to rejoice. We're reminded here that we should not suffer for being a evildoer. Those things should not be part of our lives. We find ourselves suffering for these things. We have reason to be ashamed and need to come before the throne of repentance and repent of those things. In Matthew chapter 5, we're reminded here in verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, and as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The call here in this passage is to entrust our lives to Jesus. As we continue our journey in serving Him, we're reminded here that we can trust Jesus. Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus lived a life ahead of us as an example. Peter here in this passage is giving us a snapshot of some of the things that we need to be prepared for. We do well to identify those things and apply them to our lives. To be armed shows us how we should live as Christians. And just a few things that I'd like to point out that stood out to me here is, one is, the call is to be ready. To be ready. Expect trials. Expect trials. But if I expect them, then they're probably going to happen. And as people, we like to be convinced that it's going to be easy. I'm going to go from point A to point B. Here's the things that I'm going to do, and that's the way it's going to be. He's reminding us to expect some delays, and so let's be prepared. I believe we do well to expect victories when we face trials. We expect to be victorious. We expect to walk through them and experience victories. We're reminded to live a righteous life. Rejoice in Jesus. He's the one that's going to give us strength. He's the one that's going to give us courage. To remember who has enabled us. It is the Lord. In verse 19, we're reminded that God is faithful. We are serving a God that is going to be faithful to us. So we can be assured by that. So again, here in closing, Peter's call, I believe, is that we would arm ourselves with the mind of Christ to be to be prepared. As we do that, I believe we're going to experience victories. We're going to experience God's love and care in our lives. Two verses that I'd like for us to, so I was looking at the chapter here that I really felt stood out to me, and that is verse 10 and 11 is as we do things, as we are the different giftings that we have, that I do them with understanding and recognizing that God has gifted me. And I think that is, when we do that, it's actually, it does two things. It humbles me, and I'm also giving God the glory. So as I'm busy doing things, whether it's in the doing or whether it's in the speaking, we're giving God the glory, and God will be honored and blessed. May God bless you.